Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. The presence of the living God is here. Amen. Hallelujah. The presence of the living God is here. What more do we need? Hallelujah. It doesn't matter who is here or who is not here. If God is here, hallelujah, that is all that matters. Hallelujah. When we worship, certain chains are being broken. Hallelujah. When we worship God, certain bondages are being broken. Hallelujah. Let us continue to be in an attitude of worship. Let us continue to be in an attitude of praise. Hallelujah. Praise and worship does not end when the music ends. Praise and worship does not end when the music ends. Hallelujah. Praise and worship does not end when the instruments stop. Praise and worship does not end when pastor says, everyone sit down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. When we declare Jesus in our midst, hallelujah, there is power in the name of Jesus. Amen. How many of you believe that there is power in the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. When we declare Jesus' name, amen, there is healing that is happening. There is deliverance that is happening. There is blessing that is happening. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We have gathered in the presence of God today, and we haven't come here for blessing or healing or deliverance. We have come here to worship God. But whenever we worship God, God is not a debtor to anyone. Hallelujah. When we come and we gather to worship, God is the one who brings healing. God is the one who brings deliverance. Hallelujah. Amen. If you come into the presence of the living God, you have to encounter the presence of the living God. Amen. What is the point of gathering together in the name of Jesus if we don't encounter the presence of the living God? Hallelujah. I'm not going the way that I want to go, but this is what the Spirit of God is putting in my heart. Amen. So when Jesus gathered in the midst of his people, there was one woman who came and met Jesus. Hallelujah. We all know this story. This woman was affected for 12 years with a monthly bleeding issue. Amen. Hallelujah. For 12 years, she looked for different doctors. For 12 years, she went to different clinics. For 12 years, she tried homeopathic medicines. For 12 years she tried Ayurvedic massage. Hallelujah. Don't quote me on that. But even in the midst of all of that, hallelujah, there was no deliverance. But where did she go? To the Maker. Hallelujah. Many people touched Jesus that day, but only one received power. Amen. Many people touched Jesus that day, but only one received power. Hallelujah. If you come into the presence of the living God, come to receive power. Hallelujah. Don't come here just to sit and just leave away without transformation. Come and expect to receive a power from on high. Hallelujah. God is here to glorify his name. Amen. Yesterday, the Spirit of God reminded me through the psalm. I'm just going to go there very quickly. Just Psalm 71. Hallelujah. Psalm chapter 71. This is not the passage that I had in mind and not the message that I prepared. Psalm 71, verses 19 to 21. It's a message that is already, if you were there yesterday for the prayer, you would have heard it. I think God really wants to emphasize some points. Psalm 71, verses 19 to 21. Can someone read it to me in English? Amen. Thank you. When we read that portion, I said that Psalm 71 is a psalm that is written by David. Even though there is no heading there, it is written by David. If you go home and you compare Psalm 71 verses 1 to 4, Psalm 31 verses 1 to 4, they are almost exactly the same. And Psalm 31 is a psalm written by David. So I believe the psalm is written by David. When we look at David's life, David is a person who received an anointing. Amen. from a very young age, he received an anointing. Who is David? He's a nobody. Nobody saw David. His father did not see David. His siblings did not see David. David was a nobody. But in the midst of no one seeing him, there was someone who saw him. Hallelujah. Today, when we come into the presence of the living God, let me tell you, nobody else might be seeing you today. But there is a God who sees you. That woman who was affected for 12 years, no one came to touch her. She was a person who was untouchable. She was an impure person. She was an unclean person. She should not show where people show up. Amen. Hallelujah. Nobody wants to be close to a person who's impure. Nobody wants to be close to a person who's unclean. But there is my God who sees you when you are hidden or in secret or in shame. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me read the verse. Let's read verse 5 and to verse 7. Can someone read and help me, please? Amen. Hallelujah. David is a person who saw God's hand firsthand. He received favor from God. Where is David? He is with the sheep. Samuel goes into Jesse's house, the father of David, Jesse's house, and says, "One among your children is going to be anointed as the king of Israel." This is a special occasion. This is a time when everyone from the family should be invited for this special occasion. Jesse invites everyone except his youngest son. Samuel went by external appearances, said, "This person is fit to be king." We know the story. I don't have to explain to anyone. This person is fit to be king. This person is strong. This person is smart. This person is tall. This person is wise. God said, "Not this person. Not this person." Then Samuel reached the end. "Are these all you have? Are there any more sons you have?" Jesse said, "Yeah, there is one. He is with the sheep. He's fit for that. He is with the sheep. Someone has to be with the sheep, no? He's there. He's not fit to come here in front of you." What did Samuel say? "Send someone else. Bring him here." Amen. We will not continue this sacrifice until he comes and joins. My God is a God who honors you where you are put to shame. My God is a God who honors you where you are put to shame. Where people said you are good for nothing, God will say worship will not continue unless he comes in front. Amen. Hallelujah. God is a God who sees your heart and sees your state, sees your condition, sees your pain when nobody sees you first. Second, where you are put to shame, there God will honor you. In front of your family. Your father said he is good for nothing. In front of your father, God will see that you are anointed. Where his siblings said he is the youngest, he is the weakest, we are blessed. We have wisdom, we have wealth, we have strength, we are tall. David has none of those qualities. God said, "Bring him. He is the one I've chosen." What is the point of having everything that is appealing in this world but not appealing in God's eyes? Children of God, when we say we want to be appealing to God, God will honor you. And I read that verse again, for verse 5 onwards. "For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you." Even before David was anointed, David was a worshiper. Amen. Even before David received the anointing, he praised God. Don't wait for the anointing to worship God. Don't wait for your circumstances to change to worship God. In the midst of your shame, in the midst of the sheep, in the midst of the place where you are nothing, start worshiping God. Amen. When nobody sees you, he's a nobody. But David is there in the sheep praising God. David is leading a praise and worship session for the sheep. Amen. Hallelujah. Be faithful where God has placed you. Be faithful where God has placed you. Amen. Hallelujah. Even from the time he was brought from his mother's womb, David relied on God. And I will ever praise you. We have seen that. When David comes into the presence of the living God, and he is there, and he is worshiping God, there are some things that are coming beside him to say, now is the chance. The shepherd is not paying attention. A bear will come, a lion will come, and say, I'm going to take what is the shepherd's. What is David doing? Leading worship. This is my opportunity. Let me read those portions, verse 10 and 11. For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. You see, when we are down in our brokenness is when most people come to attack us. I want to tell that point again. You see, when a person is being blessed by God, that person is not getting attacked by other people. It is when you are down and nobody sees you where people kick you. People trample on you. People will think, this is my opportunity to bring him down. When David was there as a shepherd, the enemies gathered around David. The enemies came against David and said, this is our opportunity. Let us take him down. Nobody is there with David. Is David having support there? No. Who is he? A Balin. He's a youth. He's a lad. He's a young boy. In front of a grown man, if a bear comes, the person will run away. What is this young boy going to do? But what is different about this boy is he has an anointing on him even before God poured out an anointing. How did he get that anointing? By worshiping God and praising God. Children of God, sometimes when in the midst of the darkness and in the shame is where God wants to honor you. Again, the Spirit of God is bringing another reference in mind. In Acts chapter, we don't have to take that because we don't have much time. Acts chapter 16. We know the story. Paul and Silas, where are they gone? They are going to Macedonia because Paul receives a vision. Paul wants to go to Asia Minor and preach the gospel there. The Spirit of God tells him no. Gives him a vision of a begging man to go into Macedonia. So he goes to the capital of Macedonia. He goes to the town of Philippi. For a couple of weeks he is circling and there is no breakthrough. There is no deliverance. There is no revival. One day, Paul looks around and sees a woman who's been standing in front of him all this time saying, listen to these men. And God says, through Paul, I set you free. The demon left, but the whole town shook. Only one person saw revival, but the whole town experienced a shaking. The whole town was in uproar. And what did the leaders do? They took the person who did a good thing, Paul and Silas, whipped and put him in the prison. You see, it is when we are at our weakest and our lowest point and when everyone thinks that nothing is going to come. Where is this revival he came here for? Where is that beggar that he saw this vision for? God sent him here, no? Any change in your situation? God sent you here. God brought you here to Canada. Same old story. You come and you ask him, why you came to Canada? 30 years ago, a pastor was sitting in my house and he said, God will take me to a land of snow. And so I'm here. And God said that he is going to do his purpose through me in Canada. For the last 30 years, you have been saying God is going to do something through you. What has he done through you? Where is your God? Where is your miracle? Where is your healing? Where is your deliverance? Where is your revival? Where is your breakthrough? It is when you are in a place of emptiness, in a place of darkness, in a place of where there is nobody else who's seeing you, where people start tearing into you. You see, when the blessing comes, even the people who turned against you will tell you, yes, I was praying for you. But until then, they will ask you, where is your revival? Where is your breakthrough? Where is this God of yours who brought you here to Canada? Children of God, in the midst of hopelessness, in the midst of the prison, in the midst of the sheep, in the midst of the fire, in the midst of the lion's den, my God is not done with you yet. My God is not done with you yet. People might say this is the end of his story. He's only fit for leading sheep. This is the end of Paul and Silas' ministry. They're not getting out of this prison. God's saying, I'm just getting started. It is in the prison that Daniel saw the angel of the Lord. It is in the fire Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego received a fourth person in their midst. It is in that prison that Paul and Silas saw an earthquake and the bondages that were holding them back set them free. Amen. Hallelujah. Is someone understanding what I'm saying this morning? Is someone understanding what I'm saying this morning? If God is for us, who can be against us? Udaba raba shaka mana raba baba baba. Riba raba shaka. My enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. I'll read verse 7. I've become a sign to many. You are my strong refuge. That word there, I spoke yesterday too. I said, in Malayalam, read that verse 7. Amen. Hallelujah. I have become an alpudam. Or what is that word there? Atpudam? Alpudam. What is alpudam? Miracle. Wonder. What does it take to be a wonder? If I'm a smart boy, and I'm very smart, I go to my school and get 100 out of 100 in my test and I come here. I got 100 in my class. Is anyone saying, what a wonder? No, because you are capable of getting 100. Imagine I'm a manabuddhi. Etra vadichalum kollathilla. I go to the exam and I get 100 or 100. And I come and tell my parents, I got 100. What a wonder. Right? That is a miracle. That is a wonder. To get to the point of being a sign, to get to the point of being a wonder, to get to the point of being a miracle, you have to experience a valley. You have to experience the bottomness of the pit. You have to experience the brokenness that comes from being alone. You have to experience the pain of being for 12 years without a healing. You have to experience this time. You have to experience this brokenness. Our question is, why God? When is my blessing coming? It is coming. It is coming. Everyone is asking you the same question. Now you are asking yourself, when is it coming, God? Joseph must have asked it to God. God, you showed me the vision. When is it coming? I'm here in the prison. God is saying, hold on. That is the message God has for this church this morning. Hold on. Don't let go. It is when you're at your bottom that nobody will see you. It is when you are at your bottom that nobody cares about you. It is when you are at your bottom that everybody will kick you. But when God honors you, you will be a wonder. Let's read those passages again, verse 19 to 21. I'll read it. Your righteousness, God, reaches to the heavens. You have done great things. Who is like you, God? Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once more. Verse 24, my tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long, for those who wanted to harm me have been put to shame and confusion. When Paul and Silas started worshiping God, what happened? The prison doors broke open. The hands, the stocks that were on their hand released. The chains that was bounding their leg broke through. The deliverance was for the jailer. But once Paul and Silas got the deliverance, did Paul say, okay, time to pack my bags, my mission is done here in Macedonia? No. The officials of the town had to come to the prison to get Paul and Silas out. You understand? You understand what I'm saying? The very same people who chained him, broke him, crushed him, the very same person who told David, you're fit for nothing, go and take care of the sheep, had to call him back. The same people who put Paul and Silas in there, the officials had to come and say, these are, let him go, and gave him honor. They were scared of Paul and Silas, is what Acts chapter 16 says. When Daniel was in the lion's den, who was the one who came next morning? Daniel, did your God save you? It was not the guard, not a soldier. King Nebuchadnezzar himself, the one who commanded Daniel to go in there, came out. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fire, they went under King Nebuchadnezzar's command. But King Nebuchadnezzar seized the fire and said, there's a fourth one among them. God is writing a story for you that is unique. The place where you are right now, the place of dryness, the broken well, the prison, the earthquake, whatever situation you're going through, God has not abandoned you. God is writing a story for you to make you a wonder. But in the midst of this time period, what should you do? Praise God. Don't lose sight of who He is. Don't lose sight of what He has done for you. Look back. The God who brought you thus far will bring you to your destination. The GPS did not go wrong. It is bringing you to the place. This is not the place which is your destination. God is just bringing you to your destination. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, Lord, we thank you this morning that you do not leave us where we are at. Lord, even when we look around us, nobody sees us. Nobody is paying attention to us. In fact, everyone who loves us, our parents, our siblings, our neighbors, are kicking us. Where is your God? Where is your healing? Where is your deliverance? But God, in the midst of that situation, we will praise you. From my birth, David says, I praise you. Lord, help us to praise you in the middle of the wilderness. It is easy to praise you when there is a blessing. But Lord, when we are waiting for the blessing, open up our lips to worship you, God. Thank you, Father, for the season. Thank you, because when you do this, people will say, you chose the weak to shame the strong. You chose the poor to shame the rich. You chose the foolish to shame the wise. Make us a wonder that is pointing to you, Lord Jesus. Make us a wonder. Make us a miracle. Make us a sign where God, when people look at us, they say, how did this foolish fellow get here? And we can point towards you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for this time. We surrender this time into your mighty hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.